Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I've enjoyed being in the book of Ecclesiastes. Honestly, it's a very much, for me anyway, it's a very much a thinking book when you read, and you got to really think about what it's saying. So I've enjoyed that. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. We'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." Let's pray this morning together. Father, and do thank you for this day. Thank you for the safety that you give the buses on the way here this morning. And Lord, it's been many years, Lord, that you've brought us safely on every Sunday morning and brought us back after church, back safely home. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to give us that safety. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, for this time. Lord, we're going to talk about this time this morning. And Lord, that this point in our lives, this time, this moment, it's our time to be in the house of God. And Lord, you've orchestrated this. You've had this set up. And God, I pray that we would take advantage of the time that you do give us, and we wouldn't waste it, and we would be prosperous. We would be diligent in the time that you have given us. And God, I thank you for our time. Lord, I pray that you just guide my words today, guide my thoughts. I pray that you'd be honored above all, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first verse, the Bible says, "To everything there is a season." Now, quite honestly, I'm thankful, and I tell everyone this, I'm very thankful that I live in the state of Indiana. I'm very thankful I live in southern Indiana. I've been to several other states in our wonderful nation, but I'm always very thankful that I can come back to Indiana. Sometimes we complain about the weather and how it changes, but I'm very thankful for changing weather, quite honestly. I wouldn't want to live in summer all year round. I wouldn't want to live in winter all year round. I could probably do fall about all year, or spring. I like fall and spring, but I don't know of any other place that has fall and spring all year round anyway, so wouldn't want to move there. But I'm very thankful for the seasons. And we're going to talk about some seasons this morning. And I encourage you, if you've never heard Pastor's series on the seasons of life, you can find it on, I honestly, probably two years ago, maybe he's preached the series on the seasons of life. And I encourage you to go listen to those. There's a lot of insight in those. And I've got them somewhere on a disc or something. We've listened to them before. I've listened to them a couple times. But a season. What is a season? And what is the time? You know, that this is probably one of the most well-known passages in Ecclesiastes, is this this passage on time and how the passing of time and different things like that. So I'm going to make some observations about seasons this morning, something that everyone knows. We're just going to state it and make some observations about it. But seasons of life. We all go through these seasons of life, and there's these seasons that we have in our lives. And I'm in a different season of life than you are. people in this room that are in different seasons of life than each other. And we all have these seasons of life. And there's some seasons that we look forward to. There's some seasons that we dread. I look forward to, you know, one nice thing about winter is that you're looking forward to spring. And you look forward to that. You know, you're in the dog days of summer when it's hot. You look forward to fall. You look forward to the cooler weather. You look forward to the, you know, just the uniqueness of fall. When you're in spring, you know, when you're in sun or winter, as we are now, the end of winter, I saw some maple trees starting to get their buds on them, and they're starting to bud out, and it's like they finally have realized that life is coming back. And it's not that the life wasn't there. Life was always there. It was just dormant for a period of time. So for these seasons, some observations about seasons. The first observation that we have about seasons is a season, it is only for a time. A season is only for a time period. Now, it could be a long time period. It could be a short time period. But a season is only for a time. And in that concept, with that thought, and we're going to do this several times, and we're going to draw some conclusions here, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if we have that thought as a season is only for a time, we can also say, with that thought in mind, a season will come to an end. There is a beginning to a season, and there's an end to a season. We're in the end of winter, but it's the beginning of spring. Okay, so we are at the beginning, at the end of one and the beginning of another. So every season is only for a time. It will come to an end. It must have a beginning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a time to be born. We could very easily say there, a season to be born, a season to die, a season to plant, a season to pluck up that which is planted, a season to kill, and a season to heal, a season to break down, and a season to build up. And we could go through this whole passage, and I don't think we're doing any injustice to the Word of God here by substituting the word season for time. I believe you could interchange those very well. But every one of these, it is only for a time, and then it's over. You know, and some of these we look forward to. You know, we look forward to the birth of a child. We've got several ladies expecting children right now in our church. And you look forward to those times. But the Bible also says right after that, there's a time to die. Now, most people don't just, maybe, you know, you don't just look forward to dying. However, Ecclesiastes says something very interesting. The time of one's death is better than the time of one's birth. And I think probably the older folks get, the more you look forward, not necessarily to the action of death, all right, but you look forward to the result, the what waits us on the other side. And we look forward to that. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm not scared to die. I'm just scared of how I'm going to die. I wouldn't want to die. There's several things I wouldn't want to die by, you know, I don't want to die by drowning. You know, there's some things that I don't really particularly want to die by. You know what I mean? I don't want to die in a fire. Okay. There's some things that I don't really want to die, but the thing of death, death has no fear in and of itself. All right. You know, I don't think most people want to die by cancer. You know, it's not a pleasant way to die. You know, if I die, I just want to go to sleep and wake up in heaven. I mean, that would be the best, all right? Now, that's not necessarily true for everyone. But I do believe that there, you know, for a Christian, that should hold no fear for us. And like I said, it's not sometimes the action that we look forward to. But it shouldn't hold a fear for us. But even then, death is only for a season. Death is only for a season. It doesn't last forever, thank goodness. And I think most ladies in here would say, you know, birth doesn't last forever either. Thank goodness. All right. That would be rough to be in a perpetual state of birth. and so that wouldn't be good. All right. But there is something unique about when God allows us to go through these seasons of life. A season to plant, a season to pluck up that which is planted. Farmers, I think, are glad that it's not always planting season. You know, it's not always harvest season. There are times for all of these. Bible says a time to kill and a time to heal. Brother Chad, what about thou shalt not kill? Well, that's true. But I'm sure thankful for all the soldiers in our country's history that, you know, when I think of this verse, I think of everybody's heard the story of Sergeant York. Sergeant York, he was basically a pacifist. He didn't believe that he should go and that he should fight and he should kill. But for a season, for a time, and for a purpose, he set that aside and he was willing to go fight for his country. You know, and I'm glad for men like that. That, listen, I don't believe in killing, just, you know, murdering someone. But when there comes a time that, you know, there is a time that we need to step up and we need to be willing to stand for what we believe. And this is a rabbit trail. We watched a thing at the youth rally on Friday night about the persecution of Christians over the ages. And it basically, they started with the opening thing was the Colosseum. And they had Christians being herded into this Colosseum. And they had them, you know, they had showed them kneeling down. And it was a reenactment. And then they had lions coming out. And they didn't show everything, obviously. But you think about what Christians used to do, and I'm going somewhere with this. And then they showed, I mean, right now they said on that presentation, every 6 minutes, a Christian is killed for their faith. Every 6 minutes. So in the time that we're in here this morning, at least between 5 and 6 Christians will be killed for their faith in the time that we are in here this morning. And we sit in here in relatively luxury. We don't fear someone coming in and really threatening us. Yes, there is situations like that, but we don't really fear that. And, you know, I got thinking, and they showed a clip of ISIS. They had, I don't know, it was 10 or 12 men, and this was all a video. Obviously, they didn't show everything, but they were getting ready to behead these people because of the fact that they were Christians. There was a church congregation in Indonesia that was standing there watching an active church congregation as the government came in with an excavator and tore their church down. You know, and we think, well, you know, what would happen to us? Well, quite frankly, this is Brother Chad, all right? And maybe this is not, I understand the Bible principles, and if this is not a biblical philosophy of life, then shame on me, okay? And I understand the biblical principle of turning the other cheek. But on the other hand, once you've tasted of freedom, and when you have the freedom that we have today, you don't take that away. I'm not giving that freedom up willingly. I will fight for my freedom. And maybe God gives the grace to just lay, you know, I don't understand the laying down, you know, I'll just, you know, not me. That's just my personality, maybe. But I'll fight for my children's freedom to worship God. I will fight for that. And if it comes to, and quite honestly, if it comes to my life versus someone that's killing me because of my Christianity, I see a lot of our forefathers that took someone else's life so that our folks can have freedom to do what we can do, what you're doing this morning. And that's a foreign concept to a lot of, you know, we've grown up in a, you know, when's the last generation that we've had to fight literally for our freedom? We go to other countries. When's the last time we fought for freedom on American soil? Civil war? We've always been a nation that has gone to another nation. Yes, we're fighting for our freedom ultimately against communism and socialism and all that stuff, but we've always done it on someone else's soil. What when it comes to American soil? What will you do? All right? Me? And I'll just, you know, I'll fight for it. And if necessary, I will take a life for it. Okay? Well, you shouldn't. Well, I think there's evidence in the Bible. And there's evidence in, you know, like I said, we don't have the freedoms in America without people that were willing to, yes, maybe they didn't agree with it, but I'm thankful for men like, and he's the one illustration that really came to my mind. I'm thankful for men like Sergeant York that was willing to set aside, well, I don't want to do that, but if it means freedom for my people, I'll be willing to do that. You go to the Revolutionary War, look how many soldiers and leaders of soldiers in the Revolutionary War were pastors and deacons, upstanding members of their congregation. And because of the freedoms that they had tasted of already, they didn't want to give them up. All right? There is a time to kill. But you know the second part of that? There is a time to heal. A time to heal. You know, it's, you know, once war is over, it's a time to heal. It's a time to heal. This could be true in our personal lives also. You know, there's a time to get rid of things in our life. All right? There's a time when you have to be hard on a young person. But there's also that time when you got to come back and you got to help that young person heal. Okay? There's got to be a balance. I think this passage, as much as anything, teaches us balance. A time to break down. Time to build up. And we could. I don't have time to go through all of these, but every one of these is just for a season. Don't spend your whole life breaking someone down. All right? Yeah, sometimes that has to happen. But then there's that building process. Someone that's building muscle, you know, somebody's working out and developing their muscle, you know, there has to come a time. When your muscle builds, it's because your muscle has been broken down. And when it heals, it becomes stronger. Okay? And that's part of a growth. Nobody likes to see families leave the church or churches have disruptions and stuff like that. And I'm not, you know, there shouldn't be that. But sometimes those things are necessary for the church to grow stronger. They said in that presentation, and this is fresh in my mind, in just a little bit of time, the population or the amount of people that were Christians went from 250,000 to 6 million in just a matter of a couple years. Why was that? Because of persecution. Well, nobody likes persecution, yeah, but it makes it grow, okay? It makes it grow. We prune trees. Why do we prune trees? To make them grow, to make them produce. I got some fruit trees probably 2 years ago, and for the first couple years, I'd go off, and most of you that have fruit trees, I'm not an expert by any means, I just did what they told me to do. So I went off and I plucked all the buds off of it, or not the buds, the flowers for the fruit. I took them all off. Why? Well, don't you want fruit? Yes, but by doing that, I can make the tree stronger until it can properly bear that fruit and sustain that fruit. Well, you're taking away the life. You're taking away I am for a time, for a season, and then it's going to produce. It's going to produce. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And we see that. So each one only lasts for a season. These seasons of life that we have, it's only going to last for a season. Second observation I want to put here is don't stay in the season, but don't forget the season. Don't stay in that season, but at the same time, don't forget the season. Those of you in here, you've seen a lot of winters in your lifetime. I've only seen, well, I only remember probably 25 or so. You've seen a lot of winters. You could tell me about blizzards of, you know, you hear older folks, well, the blizzard of, they'll say a year. What was the one that was big here? 78. See? Told you. Remember how we had to do this during that year. Remember how we, all right? Now, aren't you glad we didn't have the blizzard of 78 in 2018? You're probably thankful for that, okay? But you've never forgot that. Let me challenge you this morning. Don't stay in the season, but don't forget the season. Don't stay in the season, but don't forget the season. You know, it's so easy to, you know, we go from season to season to season, and if we're not careful, we forget what happened in our past. A lot of folks, you've had a season in your life when you weren't a Christian. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we're trying to forget our past. We're trying to forget the bad things that's happened. And I understand that to some degree. But at the same time, if you shove all that away, you realize that there's a whole generation of people that you can't help because you've put it all back, way back there. Okay? And I want to explain this here. I do want to explain this. I'm thankful for the people that are willing to share. Listen, I don't need to know, you know, what I would say is the dirty secrets of your life. That's none of my business. But you know, it helps another generation. Go to the Old Testament and look at how many times God said, "I want you to set up a memorial for them." There was sometimes it was for a bad thing. Sometimes it was for a good thing. But what was the memorial for? So that the children of Israel could always go back, and once the generations were gone, there was always something there that they would be like, what was this for? What's this pile of rocks for? And they would be able to say, it was because of this season in our life. Okay, whether it was a good season or a bad season, it was for this season. Now, I think the children of Israel were glad that they didn't have to cross the Red Sea every year. Okay, that was a stressful situation for them. All right, I think they're glad that they didn't have to do that, but I don't think that God ever intended them to forget about that, because when you forget about those things, we have a tendency as human beings to forget about God. All right, and the God that saved us out of them. Don't stay in the season, but don't forget the season. I remember when we was getting ready, this is one of my vivid childhood memories, I guess. But in the year 2000, when we were going from the year 1999 to 2000, what did they call that? You remember? Y2K. Y2K. And I remember that. I mean, that was a big deal. And you had people, I mean, literally building bomb shelters and stockpiling food for several years, okay? I mean, literally, those of you, and all of you remember that, that was a big deal. I was fairly young. I guess I would have been, what, 13, 12 or 13, depending. But I do remember that. I remember people, and, you know, we didn't really make, you know, my mom canned like she normally did, and I think we had 2 5-gallon jugs of water. That was I don't remember. That was as much preparation as we had. We're gonna die. I don't know. I can't remember that well. But you know, people spent a lot. I mean, people spent their life's fortunes, everything they had, to prepare them for a season that could possibly be coming. And you know, there, I hate to say it, but I think there's some people that got stuck back there. Literally. They're like, you know, the world's still coming to an end. And it is, all right? But it's not going to be that way, okay? God's going to bring judgment, and God's going to bring an end, but God's going to do that in his time. But you've got people that were stuck. They've been stuck in that season, all right? They're still hermits, all right? And, okay, there was that season. I was reading a story about a lady over in Siberia. She lives in Siberia. And because of religious persecution, her and her parents took them basically to Siberia to live in isolation. Well, she's been there for 40-some years, okay? And her family has all died. She's the only one left. And she lives there in complete isolation. But that persecution wasn't there anymore, you know? It's like, well, you could come back to society. Now, I don't think she could adapt. She's been so long, so far gone. I don't know that she could adapt to society. But what are you saying, Birch? I'm saying don't live back there, but at the same time, don't forget what it was like to be back there. What are you saying, Birch? Don't forget what it was like to be a teenager. Don't forget what it was like to be, you know, my age, a young adult. The pressures of, you know, it's easy on the other side of a trial to sometimes look back and say, well, they should do it this way. They should handle this situation. Put yourself in their shoes and kind of go back and think about it, what it was like. I work with the teenagers, but I never, ever, ever, I never look at a parent and think, well, they should do something this way. I don't. You know why? Because I've never been there. That's a season that I'm looking forward to. Not necessarily looking forward to, but it's a season I'm looking ahead to, all right? It's a season I'm looking ahead to, and I don't know what it's like to be in their shoes. So I can't judge them based on that. But on the other hand, you know, well, they, you know, these young people, they should just do this, this, and this. Well, do you remember what it was like to have the feelings that they have, that they're going through right now? Because life's a cycle. We may have more gadgets and more things, but they feel the same way that you did, okay? They have those same passions. They have the same dreams. They have the same desires. So don't forget what it was like to be in that season of life. Don't forget what it was like to be in, you know, my season of life. When you're trying to make, you know, you're just trying to make everything meet, all the ends meet, and stay balanced, all right? So don't forget what it was like to be in the season. I'm thankful for people. I'll tell that in the next point. All right, so the first observation about seasons, it's only for a time. It will come to an end. Second observation is don't stay in the season, but do not forget the season. I wrote this down, and this will kind of goes along with it. But in Hebrews, it talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. For a season. The pleasures of sin is only for a season. It will come to an end. It will come to an end. Anyway, don't stay in the season, but don't forget the season. And lastly, and this is a very applicable thing, probably more than the other two, but first one is only for a time. Don't stay in the season, but don't forget the season. And then thirdly, tell about the season. Tell about the season. I enjoy talking to, and I've got this written down. I'll just read what I have written down. Learn to tell stories. Learn to tell stories. Be a storyteller. Be a storyteller. Let me help you with this. When I'm teaching children's church, I can tell a life story about myself. That's a completely humiliating life story. But I can tell it in such a way that none of them would ever guess that it's about me. Okay? Now, there are some things I'll just tell them because they think it's funny because Brother Chad did a really bonehead thing. And it keeps their attention. Like if I tell you I did something really stupid, like hitting my head on the bumper of a bus, you know, it would keep your attention because it's a good story, all right? It's funny because it happened to someone else, all right? And anything bad that always happens to somebody else, for some weird reason in our human minds, we really think it's funny, all right? You know, you see somebody walking down the sidewalk and they fall flat in their face. You know, generally you just bust out laughing at them, all right? But none of us like to be walking down the sidewalk and falling flat on our face, okay? So it's funny when it's somebody else. But don't be afraid to tell about the seasons. And what I mean by that is tell about the things in your, you know, the things of life. Because so many times as a young person, I remember, and it's still true to this day, I wish there was things about Charles English that I knew about. But as a young person, sometimes it's really awkward to be able to go up to somebody and just, you know, ask a question, okay? Ask a question. And sometimes, you know, I wish, there's several times around here because Brother Charles did so many things around here. I mean, it was amazing. And those of you that worked with him could tell you, I could be working on something in the attic and be like, Brother Charles, do you know where this electric box runs? And I don't know how he kept all, my mind does not work this way. He'd be like, yeah, there should be a junction box about so far over from this wall, and it'll have all the wires in it. And I think there's like a red wire. And I'm like, that was 30 years ago that he wired. Hey, we could be having a water issue or a septic line plugged. And be like, Brother Charles, could you come over? And I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to stand here and tell me where this is at. And he could walk on the property and be like, I think it's probably about right here. And you know what we did? What we would do? You don't question. You just start digging. And pretty soon, there it is. I mean, a water line. A 1-inch water line. And he's on top of it. Okay? I wish there was times I could ask him, call him, hey, do you know about this? Or do you know about, and not even just very physical things, but tell me about how I can be a better this. Tell me how I can be a better this. Tell me about what you did. Because I'm afraid, you know, we've lost so much knowledge because of my generation isn't willing to ask a question. But I think we also lose knowledge because older generations, you know, it's kind of like, well, you just kind of watch somebody. And I have this tendency too. I have young men working for me sometimes. And sometimes they won't come ask me a question. They just try to figure it out themselves. And you watch them do the same thing 2 or 3 times and mess it up every time. And at some point you're like, why don't you just come ask me? Or I can go over and I can say, hey, let me show you how to do this, all right? Sometimes I'm just, well, they're not asking me. I'm not going to tell them, all right? And, but on my part, I had to be willing to go, let me help you with that. Let me show you, and then I'm going to let you do it so you can learn how to do it, all right? Learn to be free with your knowledge. Free with your knowledge. And I understand the concept of wisdom in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. It takes work, and my generation ought to work. But don't be afraid of telling a story. Hey, you know, when I was so and such and such age, and we worked at such and such place, these guys did this. You know what that is for me? I'll stop work to listen to a story like that. I will. Because what is that? It's a learning opportunity. It's a learning opportunity. And listen, you don't have to tell. You can be like, you know, you can be talking about yourself. Yeah, I heard this one time about a couple guys that, or I had a couple friends that. Okay, if you see me, and you know, I'm opening myself up for this, for myself personally. If you see me doing something stupid, don't be afraid to come up and say, hey, Brother Chad, you know, one time when I saw, et cetera, all right? I never want to be a young person, or I'm younger, that isn't willing to take a lesson, a story. Because if you can remember the season, don't be afraid to tell about the season. I love talking to you older folks, because my mind thinks a lot of the ways of the old simplistic life. I could go, I'm not saying, you know, I don't agree with the way Amish get to heaven, but I could live like the Amish really easy, honestly. Now, I would still have my powered equipment, and I would still have my, you know, stuff like that. But the simplistic part of life, I know that doesn't really go together. But, okay, you got to give me a break here, because you look at them now, they're not too far off from having all the gadgets too. Okay, the last Amish building crew I seen, Brother Ali, they had all the power tools and all the equipment that I have. Okay, they're just dressed a little different. They looked exactly the same. Okay, I mean, so give me a break on that. But I could. I've got my house set up right now on. I've got backup water sources. I don't use city water for a lot of my water, because I have another avenue of getting water. Okay, well, doesn't that require more work? Yeah, you know. Brother Chad, do you actually save money by burning wood? No, not really. If you're just be dead honest about it, no, I don't. But it's always there, all right? And I kind of enjoy doing it. So what are you saying, Brother Chad? I'm saying don't be afraid to share childhood experiences even. I've talked to Mrs. Ali before about, you know, there's a lot of, and God's given you a sharp mind, praise God still, and there's a lot, and Brother Don, Brother Ali, different, my dad, I was working on a truck the other day, and this is my bad, there again, I was working on it, it's a 1976 Chevy one-ton truck, and I had to replace the axle bearing in it, and you know, I get so involved in it, and I'm working on it, I can't get something figured, I don't remember what it was, my dad's just standing there watching me. And I didn't think to ask him a question. You know, I'm just, you know, as a young person, you're do. You don't want to stop. And my dad said, yeah, these are what I used to work on all the time in the military. I'm like, well, that would have been nice to know. He's like, that goes the other way. I'm like, oh. But you know what? It was my fault. I should have just asked. You know, that was his era. Dating him, but that's his era of truck. I mean, he worked on those all the time. I mean, on a regular, almost probably weekly basis, he worked on that. What I was struggling for a couple hours or several minutes, he knew right off the bat. But I didn't ask. Okay, don't be afraid. And I'm thankful. What I'm saying is, I'm thankful he took the time to. He could have just watched me beat my head against it, and you know. Not done any good, but he said one simple thing. This is, yeah, I used to work on these all the time. I'm like, oh, that's pretty neat. All right? Don't be afraid to share the season with the next generation. All right? Because we can all learn. Now, if we're knuckleheads and we don't pay attention, that's our problem. All right? But don't be afraid to share the season, your memories of the season, because your memory, and most of you will testify to this, it doesn't last forever. And you'll forget things. So pass it on before you forget about it. All right? Give it, pass it on to the next generation. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the seasons of life that you've given us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that during my season, this vapor that I have here on earth, that I wouldn't waste it, that I would realize the brevity of it. Lord, I would realize that it's just for a season. Help me to enjoy the seasons. Help me to learn from the seasons. Help me not to forget the seasons. And Lord, help me to pass on the seasons of life. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.